Good morning.
Good morning.
We will be in Ephesians 6, mostly. I'd like to give a thank you to the veterans. I know we have a couple of veterans even in this room. If you see a veteran, make sure you say thank you. It's a thankless job. So we'll be in Ephesians 6, 10 through 24. We'll close it out, the Ephesians study, or at least try to. So finally, be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. In the heavenly places, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. With all prayer and supplication to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly, as I ought to speak. We'll just stop there. So let's just pray and open us up. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are, for the time that we could have. We thank you for the veterans that put their life on the line for us. And we just thank you for that, so that we can have this freedom. And we thank you for you putting your son's life on the line for us, so that we may have our freedom eternally. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. So, we're just going to go right into it because there is a lot to cover in a little amount of time. So we'll only be here until about 12:30. I'm kidding. All right. So finally, be strong in the Lord. What does it mean to be strong in the Lord? I mean, we all pretty much have inkling of what that could be. In Ephesians 3, 16 through 19, it says that according to the riches of the glory, he may grant you the strength with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints that is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So being strong in the Lord, we know of the Lord. We got to pursue the Lord. We talked this morning about what's a motivation. What would motivate us to go and pursue the Lord? If there's something that you're interested in, I know if you're interested in something, say basketball or baseball. So if you're interested in baseball, you're gonna learn about it. You are gonna study it. You are gonna try it. You're gonna practice it. If you're not interested in baseball, you are not going to try any of those things. I'm not much of a video game. I will try it, but I don't like video games so much, so I don't really care to play them. So I'm not going to pursue that avenue and look at things. So if we are motivated to learn about God and be strong in the Lord, and we want to have that strength in the Lord, we have to push ourselves to do things and sacrifice our time that he's already given us to pursue the Lord. So what are things that we can do? We could pray, talking to the Lord. If you want to ever get to know somebody, typically it's best to talk with them. You can't get to know somebody if you completely avoid them. So even in the church, you know, we may only talk to certain people, and we're like, oh yeah, I don't really know that person. The only way to really get to know them is to actually talk to them. So So we pray. Next one, we could read. He gave us the Bible, so we have things that he's talking about that he wants us to know. We could read. We obey. Once we read it, we obey the things that he's asking us to do, and then it'll come to us. It says that he will give us the strength. We will start to understand. We will comprehend. And we have to have faith and trust that these things are true. So we're responsible for this entire Bible. I know even when we give the little children downstairs, we give them memory verses and things to study, and it's overwhelming sometimes for anybody to try to memorize a thing. And it's like, oh no, I have the whole Bible. But that's the thing. Psalm 37:4 says, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he will give us the desires of our heart. If our desire is to know more about him, to bring forth the word, to show the word, and to know the word, he will bring the desires of our hearts. We just have to make sure our desire is the correct desire. So we take the time, we put it in, and we will see the full strength of the Lord. So it was talking about the heights and depths, and we can't really comprehend how big our Lord is, how far his stretch reaches. You know, how strong is he? Like, what is it that he can't do? He can't sin, right? What else can't he do? He's in Matthew talks about a faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains, right? So what is it that he can't do that we would be afraid to not go to him for help? We know he could do all things. He says he could do all things. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He is an all-powerful. Our enemy is not all-powerful. He is, we'll talk about him in a little bit, but our Lord is powerful. He is everywhere. He can do anything other than sin. So we are fighting the schemes of the devil. The next part. We put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. So the devil doesn't necessarily come out and say, hey, this is me. I'm making sure that you're going to do something bad. You know, sometimes we don't see the things that are happening bad. He works in schemes because he can't be everywhere. So, you know, like so we can walk into a place and we can know, if you walk into a bar intending to drink, you know that's probably not where God wants you to be. But like, you could also walk into a grocery store and the Lord may not want you there because you told your wife you're going to be home at 5 o'clock and it's 5:30 and you're walking into the grocery store. You were already supposed to be there. There's certain things that he will just work his way around so that it's a scheme. It doesn't necessarily present itself in one, right in front of you, right in front of your face. So he comes cunning, and we have to be careful. We have to watch. He's always working behind the scenes. Have any of you ever known someone to manipulate in a situation? If you've had a job, you've seen gossipers, I'm sure, but you've seen people work behind the scenes to kind of manipulate the boss to maybe move their desk into a certain spot that you wanted, or but they'll manipulate, and you have to stay faithful, stay true to what God would want you to do in that situation. So if you see something bad happen, you know, should you just go right over there and start yelling? So one cool example is, so when Jesus went to the church one time, he saw the money changers and things like that. He went over and he flipped the tables. And I'm not saying you should go flip somebody's desk because they got your spot or anything like that, but you have to do according to your environment what is necessary to uphold the Lord's standards. And that's not necessarily a cut and dry thing. So, how can we stay clear of Satan when we know that he's all around us and he's working and he, you know, he's in everything? The, you know, like, pretty easy to speed nowadays. It's against the law. And I know I've talked about this before when I was up here. I have a little bit of a heavy foot, and so that's not necessarily a good thing. And it's sin, but, like, you know, it's only 5 miles an hour of speed limit. It's not that bad, you know? So how do we, like, stop doing that? Is it okay to speed to church so that you're on time? Is that a sin? Like, if you make it here on time because you sped, does that kind of even itself out? You know, if you're in tune with God, you're going to know these things and realize what's the right thing for you, what's the wrong thing for you. So, this is where putting on the armor of God every morning is important. You know, if you are meditating day and night on God, things will start to come a little easier. I was talking with a brother just a little while ago, and he was saying how flipping an entire house is a very nerve-wracking thing. Well, if you know your business, it's not crazy stressful. So if I was to go into, say, investments, and I had to help somebody else invest money, I wouldn't know what to do. I'd be like, that'd be very stressful. But if you know your craft, if you know your thing, if you're going to be successful. So if you know the Lord, he's going to show you the way. So we're supposed to be strong in the Lord. We know his strength. We're fighting against the devil. And it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood. Now, who is this? Who can it be? Flesh and blood. So when, you know, it could be a specific person, but flesh and blood to me in this, you know, is it Christians? Are we wrestling against other people? Oh, sometimes over or things that are not even important. Ephesians 5:16-21. Making the best of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk in wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus, submitting to one another out of reverence of Christ. Now that part, submitting to one another in reverence of Christ. You know, sometimes us in here will get upset over little things. I know my children, they'll be, you know, brushing their teeth, and one of them will just brush up against the other one, and there may be a war in the bathroom, tight areas. Does it mean anything? No. If they were out somewhere else, and, you know, a perfect stranger brushed up against them, wouldn't think anything of it. But while you're brushing your teeth, if one of my children touches another child, not good. You know, and they're a close family. They're always together. And they're worried about the little things that don't matter sometimes. Sometimes as Christians, we do the same thing. You know, the legalistic things, like. And then there's other things. We may, you know what, I just don't like the way they sit down in church. It's just awful. They put their books underneath it. I don't like that. I wouldn't do that. They shouldn't do that. You know, are those things important? If the Lord was to walk in, would you think he's going to start picking out little things like that? You know, you think he's going to worry about the way some person dresses and the, like, if he takes a sip of his coffee during the message, is that okay? Like, you know, sometimes we just got to look over the little things and go to the big things. You know, what did we do for God today? instead of worrying about somebody else doing something that isn't going to affect the work for God later. So, Acts 26:18 says, "Open their eyes so that they may be torn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God." You know, just don't worry about what's down here. We look to God. He will direct our path. We'll know the things that we need to do. Excuse me. So, now we get to the meat of it. I can get back to taking up the whole armor of God. You know, 1 Peter 4:1-2. "Since therefore Christ suffered in flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of time in flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God." So we are now putting on this armor, this metaphorical armor. And we are not to rely on self. We're putting on armor for a reason. He's equipped us. We just have to listen and do it. As a soldier would listen and do something, we also should listen and do something. So through Ephesians, it talks about the old self, taking the old self away and putting the new self on. So we put away our old self and we put on this armor. We're going to have a new look. You know, what are people going to see when they see you? When you see a soldier coming down the street, it's pretty recognizable typically if that person is in uniform. If he has the armor God on, pretty recognizable. So next part. Oh, I flipped two pages. So we're putting we're not fighting against flesh and blood, the ruler, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil. He uses all these things as schemes and avenues of ways to get to us. So in the heavenly, spiritual and heavenly places, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." When you're going to put this on, have you been strong in the Lord, and have you done everything that you can? When we know Brother Vinny's going down to camp to do that, he is going to have to work hard and be diligent to be a good Navy and fight for our country. And the more he does, the harder he fights, the more he works, the better soldier he will be. And he has that motivation of our freedom and to protect the family. So we have that. We have something to fight for. We have that motivation. We have the ability to do it. We actually have to put in the time and do it. Jesus came here, sacrificed everything for us. Didn't have to. I'm sure there was a different way he could have done that and not suffered as bad. But he did it for us. So, now the armor of God. The belt of truth. What, you know, has anyone ever told you to gird your loins and let's go? You know, we used to say it in high school constantly. And it basically, you know, just let's go. Let's get ready. So back then they would just put the belt on. They would gird their loins, put their belt on. But here, you know, that's the foundation. You know, back then, the belt of truth, we know what truth is. He gives us the word, the Word of God, and it's the belt of truth. So we, that belt that holds everything together is this. We have it. He gave it to us. Now we have to do our due diligence to take care of it. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1:13-16. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hopefully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children. Do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but he who has called you is holy. You also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So put on that old self and put on this new self. Be holy, for he is holy. That's not easy, especially in this world. Prepare your minds for action and get ready. Just as a soldier would get ready for battle, just as an athlete would get ready for a game or a competition, just as, you know, just you guys in your own jobs, you go through a training period so that you can be the best you can be for your employer. Next, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Isaiah 61:10 says, he has overcome me. He has covered me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. You know, who is righteous? And why was the breastplate the righteous part? It's pretty interesting. It's the first thing you see when you see a soldier. You see the front of him, and say he had a giant cross on him, you would recognize it right away. You know, we want to show forth ourselves. If we're going to put on the name of Christ, we should at least try to act like him. So we put on that breastplate of righteousness, and we do our best. Only he is really truly righteous, but we put it on, and we walk, and we our soldiers don't typically walk alone either. They're normally in groups, right? So we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Here we are now, all dressed the same, putting on that armor of God. We're all ready to go. We put the breastplate on, and now we're walking together. And people can see that. He covered us with salvation. He wants us to be his. He wants us to show that we are his. In the, as shoes for your feet, putting on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. One thing with soldiers, too, their boots are very important. I was chatting with a fellow soldier, not fellow soldier, I'm sorry. He was a sergeant in the army, and he said one of the best things that you can send over is socks. He said it's very odd, but if you're going to send things over, he goes, one of the best things is socks. He's like, because they get holes in them from the boots and things like that. He goes, our feet are very important because we're on them all day long. They have those heavy bags. And so, and it holds you up, you know? Like, so if you do not have sturdy shoes, we heard about a young man today playing basketball in flip-flops, and he got hurt. If he was wearing combat boots, chances are he wouldn't have rolled his ankle. That's for sure. So we get our shoes ready. We get our feet ready. And what is the primary goal? Our feet move us around. You know, there's other ways to get around, but we move around. So gird your loins and put your shoes and go. We've heard Jesus say that to his disciples several times, you know, gird your loins, follow me. And the gospel of peace, 1 Corinthians 15 talks about what the gospel is. You know, he died, he buried, and he resurrected. The gospel, the good news. Later on, it says the mystery of the gospel. The reason why it's a mystery, if you walk up to somebody that doesn't know anything about God and you say, hey, are you saved? They're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. You know, it's a mystery to those who don't know anything about God. And it's there are things in here that are mysteries to us that even us Christians that have been in church for a long time, we don't know. But he will show forth if we dedicate ourselves and meditate. So, put the shoes, use your feet, and spread the gospel of peace. Isaiah 52:7, you don't have to go there, but it's another scripture saying, make sure you bring the news, the good news, near and far. It doesn't matter if you leave here today and go to Cumberland Farms right down the street and you spread the news, or if you travel to Massachusetts and spread it there. It doesn't matter. Talk about the Lord. Show people. Let people see the Lord and the love through you to the Lord. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. So if we have this breastplate of righteousness on, you know, we have the Lord with us, why do we have a shield of faith? It talks about, next part, and you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Before it even gets to you, you normally would hold a shield out front of you. Before it even gets to you, you could already extinguish them because you know they're going to be coming at you at some point. The Satan will try to discourage you, to get at you, to mess with your mind a little bit. And if you're doing these things and you're studying, there are still times that he will try to get to you. You put that shield out there, and hopefully you extinguish it before it gets close. You don't, it keeps away from your entire body. It protects you. You know, things that in everyday life nowadays, you know, could be gossip or insults, you know, rudeness. These things, they could come little at a time, and they could come heavy at you. So, you know, if you got told you were ugly 5 times today, you know, by the end of the day, you'd be like, man, Mike must have really either dressed bad, or I got funny tan lines, or whatever it is. But it's going to eventually get to you. So you keep that. And if you're praying, so you got those 5 insults, but you prayed like 7 or 8 times, now you're singing praises to God and things like that, things in Ephesians that he talked about doing to keep your mind looking up, they won't get to you. You just, yep, okay, whatever, and then you just keep moving on. So, and take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So we have that helmet of salvation. You know, soldiers, they'll wear the helmet. It protects their heads in all sorts of different things. It protects them from the sun, the rain. It could deflect bullets. It could do all sorts of things when you have a helmet on. You know, when we were children, we rode our bikes outside. We didn't have to have a helmet on. Now it's a law to make sure your children wear a helmet until they're at least 12 or whatever it is. And skiing, you have to wear a helmet now. All these things. It's because the importance of a helmet. So you keep your mind correct. You got that helmet on. You keep your mind right at all times. You don't get discouraged. You keep your chest out, and you keep going. So he talks about the salvation. No one can pluck us from his hand. So we have that helmet on, and the next part, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. you know, it's a powerful thing. It says that Hebrews 4:12 talks about it being a two-edged sword. You know, it's a scary sword to even handle because, you know, it's long on both ends. That could be a very powerful weapon if used correctly. Realistically, you could get someone from the front and the back at the same time with a two-edged sword. In Isaiah 49, 1 and 2, it says, "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you peoples, from afar. The Lord called me from the womb, from the body of my mother, and named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me, and he made me a polished arrow. In his quiver, he hid me away. And he said to me, 'You are my servant Israel, in whom I am glorified.'" You know, he chose us for a reason to represent him. You know, we only love him because he first loved us. So we take that sword of the Spirit and we pray all the time. Verse 18 says, "Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication, to that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all saints." You know, once again, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're not fighting ourselves, and at least we shouldn't be. But we should be praying for one another, constantly encouraging one another, even if it may not be our way. Why is that so important? You know, like, to pray for one another. And especially if you're upset with somebody, go pray for them. You'll see how your mind will change a little bit. And now you're going to want to talk to them more. And the more you understand their side of it, you may agree with them in a very short time. You may not, but you may. No. Typically, when do people mostly pray? It's typically when they're in trouble. Right? You know, there was an atheist in the plane, and he was like, "There's no way." You know, he's taken off on the plane, and he's like, "I don't believe in God. There's none of that is true. I don't like it." Plane hits turbulence and starts to go down. Instantly, this guy's praying, right? "Please, Lord, help me." And you know, that was just a little story, but like it happens quick. When we were in trouble, we were quick to pray, "I will never do that again, Lord." You know, like, we sped the church and, you know, we went 80 miles an hour in that 35, and "I will never do that again. If you just get me out of this ticket, I will never do that again." And then next Sunday, we're late again, doing 80. You know, so we're quick to pray when there's trouble. Do we pray when it's on happy times? We'll pray when sad times, you know, someone passed away. "You know what, I'll pray for you." You know, make sure you pray for them, otherwise you just lied. But you pray for them. Colossians 4 talks a little bit about praying. So Colossians 4, 2 through 6. "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may ought to know what to answer each person." So when we walk to somebody and we are talking with them, we're spreading the gospel, we're using our feet, we're bringing the news, we're praying for these people, we may not know them. You know, let your speech, let the Lord do the talking for you. A lot of times when we try to take over, things can get jumbled up or messed up. Let the Lord flow through. I don't know what to tell this guy. Well, maybe somebody else said, maybe the best thing is to do is to refer. You know what? I could get back to you. I'll look it up and get back to you. Now you just open the door for a second conversation. You know? Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know ought to answer each person. You know, sometimes the way you talk to somebody may have to change depending on your situation also. So keep alert and pray and always be praying. So in this case, Paul, he is writing all this and he is in prison, says, I also for me, the words may give in and open in my mouth to boldly proclaim the mysteries of the gospel, for I am an ambassador in chains that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. No, in those times of troubles, when we're now we're praying because it's times of troubles, right? Are we quick to say, you know what, God gave me this for a reason, and what's the lesson? Here it is. You know, when outsiders are looking in and you're going through a hard time, you know, sometimes an outsider is like, well, I thought you were a church guy. You got it close with the Lord. What's going on here? Like, why are you going through this struggle? Do you have an answer to come back and say, hey, you know what? The Lord put me through this for a reason. I'll learn a lesson, you know, but keep your eyes up, you know. Or you just say, you know what? God, I don't know why God would do this to me. You know, I'm just not going to go to church the next 3 weeks until this is over. You know, you got to work that out with God and see what he has for you. So the last final part of Ephesians, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. Tychicus, the brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this purpose, that you may know how we are and how he may encourage your hearts. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. So he says love in there a few times, but basically it's, he wants unconditional love for his brothers. He is sending someone out there to encourage. He wants us to encourage. You know, there's always some type of spiritual war going on. There's, you know, as we saw in like cartoons when we were kids and stuff, there's always good versus evil. In movies, there's always good versus evil. It's always going on. It's always going to happen. So, you know, people make mistakes, but you love. You love unconditionally. You love all people. You love with faith. You know, Paul in chains is over there writing letters to these churches, encouraging others. You know, I don't know how many letters Paul received while he was in prison. Never really talks about anything like that, but, you know, was he getting letters saying, like, we miss you, like, we hope you get out soon? He probably wasn't. He was probably there suffering, you know, in chains, but he's not looking at himself. He's looking at God. Because if you keep looking at yourself, you're just going to get depressed. So no matter what we're going through, make sure we are looking up. So through Ephesians, we talk about taking off the old person and putting on the new. You know, be strong in the Lord. We read Ephesians 3:16 through 19, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. You know, be filled with the Lord. Put the whole armor of God on. The belt, the breastplate, the shoes, the shield. Use the shield. You got the helmet, the sword. Use it all. He put it there. He gave us the examples. Use it. That you may be filled with the fullness of God. Help each other. Romans 14:19 says, edify one another, you know, flesh and blood. Encourage one another. Don't necessarily, if there's a small thing and you want to work on it, you work on it, but you do it correctly. Take the person aside, talk about it. Don't let it just fester in there, but it's better to get it out. I know with family, if there's a problem, you voice it. If you don't want to talk to the person face to face, hey, shoot them a text, something. Let them know that there's a problem so that you can fix it. Because if nobody knows that there's a problem, can't fix it. Submit to each other, as I said. That one is always going to be a tough one to just show humility. Because if you're prideful, but like a lot of times, like you're confident in what you're doing, things like that, like it's hard to submit to somebody else's methods. You know, there's like 13 different ways to skin a cat or whatever that phrase is, they'll say like there's too many cooks in the kitchen. You know, how many different ways is there to cook scrambled eggs? Is there right or wrong way? Like when we did that, we make breakfast as a chapel for the people, everyone has a different way of making eggs. Pretty amazing that there's so many different ways, but is there a wrong way if it all turns out the way God had? So you submit. And it says when we submit, it's out of reverence for God. It's not necessarily for that person. It's for God that we're doing these things. And, you know, people have different gifts, so they bring different things to the table. So if it wasn't in our military, you know, that's why there's a Navy and an Air Force and an Army and Marines. They have different abilities and gifts and programs to do to work as a unit to protect us. Which brings us to the next thing. In Ephesians, Paul talks about unifying. And Ephesians 4:4 is the one, there's one body, there's one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. You know, he wants us to be unified as one front. It's something about this armor. If you notice, everything that's on the armor is all in front of us. There is nothing on our backside to protect us other than somebody else. You know, if the soldier's standing here, there's another shoulder protected with his shield behind that shoulder to protect his back. And behind that, there's another soldier with the shield to protect his back. So we all protect one another and help one another. And things, we will work as a unit. So we unify. So pray for each other. We are all on the same team. So we work together. You know, so if there is a war going on, you know, there is somebody behind the scenes making the uniforms that, you know, doesn't have anything to officially do with the army other than making the uniforms. That's a lot like somebody praying for us in the background. If somebody's going out to evangelize and there's people in the background praying, you know, that person is just as much helping those people go out that have the confidence that the Lord works through them to talk to whoever or help whoever. So pray for each other is Ephesians 3:14-19. Preach the gospel, Romans 10:15. Beautiful are the feet of those who go out and preach the gospel. Lead by example. Let the world know that you can help them, that you show the way, that, you know, Memorial Day is typically a day that a lot of people around here plant their gardens and things like that. You know, all these plants, they come from a single seed. It doesn't take much to make a tree even. So, you know, single seed, you plant something, it may grow, it may not, but you got to at least plant a seed if you want something to grow. If you, you know, till a whole garden, you don't put one seed in it, and you're like, why is there no fruits and vegetables in this garden? Well, you never planted any seeds. You know, go out and present the gospel. If you won the lottery, I could guarantee you'd be telling a lot of people about it. There's like that lottery winning disease because they're shaking everyone's hand because they won, and they end up getting sick because they shook everybody's hand. You know, we have many mansions waiting for us in heaven. Are we, you know, able to go talk about it? So we put on that armor of God. We talk about it. And then, so overall, the whole book, you know, talks about taking off that old man, putting on a new man. We're putting on this armor in the last section of it, and we're going out for battle. But with all these things, and he gives us a list of things to put away, bringing up the new, and now we're moving forward. And so now it is up to us to actually do something. Sorry. So when you're praying, like when you say you're going to pray for something, actually do it and move on. So just in closing, we're going to read Ephesians 1:1-2. And so Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus. And when he wrote this, you know, obviously we use this. So you could even put there to the saints who are in Bristol and who are faithful. We're not going to say that, but he obviously wrote several different letters to for the specific people, like he talked about earlier. So to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God for our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you've done for us. We thank you for the example of the armor of God that you put forth for us. Please help that we will be unified, walking together, and work for you in the way that we should work for you in this world. And please help that we will just be a light for you. And again, we thank you for the soldiers that put their life on the line for us, and we thank you for our freedom. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.